Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, in less than 2 months, on May 11th to be exact, the federal public health emergency for COVID-19 will end. The Health and Human Services Department says we're in a better place in our response than we were 3 years ago, and we can transition away from the emergency phase. But what does that mean for treatment coverage, testing, tracking, vaccines, variants? Dr. Ashish Jha is the White House COVID-19 Response Coordinator and frequent Here and Now COVID advisor. Dr. Jha, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
And so just briefly, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, it means a few things to end the public health emergency. First, it is a signal that we are in a different and in a better place with COVID. Now, that doesn't mean COVID's gone, doesn't mean COVID's not a problem. But it means that the emergency tools we needed to manage this virus are no longer needed in the same way. And when I think of emergency tools, I mean things like hospitals setting up, you know, beds in the parking lot. I mean, there were all of these kinds of rules that we put in the worst days of the pandemic. And what the Secretary of Health and Human Services determined is that while we continue to have to fight this virus, those kinds of emergency tools are no longer necessary. And he made the determination that we can end the public health emergency.
Well, what does that mean for the particulars? Hospitals have been getting a 20% increase in Medicare payment rates for treating COVID. There have been free tests. Does all that go away?
So a lot of those policies do change, and we do start treating COVID like another respiratory condition for many policy things, for reimbursements, et cetera. You know, when it comes to treatments and vaccines, they have been free, and they will continue to be free when the public health emergency ends. Basically, they've been free because the U.S. government has been buying them. So those stockpiles will run out, and at some point, and we don't have a date, but probably sometime over the summer, early fall, we will see those products switch over to the regular healthcare system. For most Americans, vaccines will continue to be completely free. For a vast majority, most Americans, treatments will continue to be very low cost or free. And we're doing a lot right now to make sure that, for instance, the uninsured continue to have access to these tools.
Do you worry, though, that people who haven't been fully vaccinated or boosted now might not be because they're thinking, oh, it's over? You know, and we do know we are in a better place. Fewer people are getting very sick or hospitalized or dying, but they are still dying.
Yep.
And they are still getting long COVID, and we're finding out more every day about possible long-term effects. So do you worry this message will be reinterpreted as don't bother finishing that series of vaccines and boosters?
I obviously hope that's not how people understand it, because that's not what we're saying. There are a lot of important diseases for which we vaccinate people, right? We don't have a public health emergency for measles, but it's really important that kids go out and get vaccinated for measles. And by the way, COVID continues to kill a lot more people, cause a lot more illness than the flu does. So our hope is that we continue sharing information with people and helping people get access to these things like vaccines and treatments, and that they continue to be used by people to protect themselves and their families.
Will we be getting a new booster? You know, it's been 6 months since most of us got the bivalent that might cover, you know, every kind of variant, but we're not seeing it right now. An infectious disease expert, Peter Hotez, recently tweeted he would keep his opinion on whether there should be another booster to himself in order not to undermine the CDC, and that kind of implied that he thought another one was needed. Put all that aside, what's your thought? Should we have another booster?
So from the beginning of this pandemic, and one of the things I've said before I came to the administration, we've got to be guided by evidence and data. So on the question of whether there should be a second booster, let's say for high-risk individuals, right now the FDA scientists are looking at the evidence that's out there, looking at the data. They have not made a determination. And when they do, of course, we'll all know about it and we'll share that widely. But FDA is looking at this actively and is going to make a decision based on what their assessment of the data is.
And do you think we haven't heard of a new variant in a while? And is that because, you know, maybe this virus, fingers crossed, is slowing down, not replicating or reproducing itself? Or should we worry that the emergency means an end to tracking and all those dashboards? And do you worry that we're not going to be able to track one as much as we did?
People do ask me, so are we done? Is this going to be the last variant, XBB.1.5, that's dominant right now? I don't think we have any reason to believe that this is the last one. The virus continues to evolve. It continues to evolve rapidly. I expect to see more subvariants of Omicron. We may even see a totally new variant. We don't know. The bottom line is predicting here has been difficult. So what we can do is we can prepare. And to that gets to your second question of how are we tracking? Are we going to have the data? And while it is true that the level of daily testing, daily data that was available in the worst days of the pandemic, while that has receded, we have built up other ways of doing surveillance. So for instance, we now have wastewater surveillance happening in a large proportion of the country. That allows us to do surveillance for new variants, so that even if some of the public health data tracking pulls back a little bit, we will still have our eyes on what's happening in communities across America and around the world, and making sure that we identify any new variants that come up.
Okay. We have to do a lightning round here, so quick couple questions. The origins of COVID-19. Majority of scientists still believe it originated in the wild. Some U.S. government agencies recently said, with low confidence, it might have been a lab leak in Wuhan. What do you think about that? What do you think the answer is?
Yeah, the short answer is I don't know. None of us knows. This is a really, really important question. We do want to get to the bottom of this. The president has been very clear on this, and that's why he instructed the intelligence agencies to do a comprehensive review. And our intelligence agencies did not come to a singular conclusion because, and here's the key issue, there has not been adequate transparency from the Chinese government. And without that transparency, without that data, it's going to be hard to sort out definitively one way or the other.
And where do you wear a mask?
Where do I personally wear a mask?
Yeah.
I travel back and forth most weekends up to Boston, and I continue to wear masks at airports and on the airplane. Sometimes in crowded indoor places, especially if I'm in a place where, not everybody's gotten a test, I will wear a mask. But obviously I wear masks far less now than I did before.
You know what's funny? I'm wearing a mask today because I have a cold, having nothing to do with COVID. Interesting habit that developed. Dr. Hashish Shah, White House COVID-19 coordinator. Thanks for visiting us again, Dr. Shah.
I'm always happy to be back. Thank you so much for having me back.